using science to debunk myths. From the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome to Sky Dragon Slaying, where we talk science and related news topics the mainstream would rather you didn't know. I'm Jenna Sullivan, CEO of Principia Scientific International. With me, as usual, our co-host, Texan engineer extraordinaire, Joe Olson, and Canadian space scientist, Joe Posner. Today, we're addressing the worrying rise of biotechnology, food modification, genetically modified crops and animals. In fact, even humans are being modified under the fourth industrial revolution doctrine of transhumanism. To help us on our two-hour deep dive into this fascinating subject is a champion for Empowered Mums, Healthy Kids, which is the motto for Mums Across America, a non-profit national coalition of unstoppable mums. Mums Across America has grown rapidly in the past 5 years with over 600 leaders and having created nearly 1,000 community events in all 50 states. The driving force of the organization is their founding executive director, Zen Honeycutt. And we are proud and excited to have Zen on the show with us today. Hi, Zen. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hi, Joe, John, and Joseph. Really, really, really glad to be here.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. We've been following your work for some time, and you were referred to us by Lady Carla Davis. You know, you do so much good work. My first question to you is, you've been in the game a long while. What inspired you to devote so much of your time and energy to raise wider awareness of GMOs, pesticides, and environmental toxins?
Well, I have to say that I was frustrated and upset when I found out that my government was allowing genetically modified foods in our food system without labels, without any warning. I felt deeply betrayed. It was like the ground shook underneath me and I never saw the world the same way again. You know, like the moments in the Matrix when everything's changed, I walked into the grocery stores and all of a sudden everything looked like it wasn't really what it was. It was no longer just the food that I thought it was. The majority of the food, maybe 75% of the processed foods, contained genetically modified organisms and the government wasn't telling us about it. And that was a deep betrayal that I just could not abide by. I could not sit idly aside and allow that to continue without doing something about it. It was really a deep betrayal that sparked it.
I believe that there was also a big impact on your family that, you know, there's issues that raised your alarm as well. You know, that you
absolutely. Yes. I had three children, young children at the time. And they all had allergies, like one of them life-threatening allergies. He almost died on Thanksgiving evening from pecans in the stuffing. We had to go to ER. It was horrific. He almost died right in front of me. And I never wanted any parent to have to go through that. And then my other two children as well developed allergies. They were allergic to eggs, to wheat, to dairy, to nuts, to different kind, you know, all different kinds of foods, 20 to 21 different foods. And my husband and I were never allergic to these foods. And we were like, what the heck is going on? And at some point we realized it wasn't just our kids. It was something was happening to the foods. And when I saw Robin O'Brien's TED Talk, Patriotism on a Plate, and Jeffrey Smith's movie, Genetic Roulette, I knew this was it. It was the genetically modified foods and the related toxins. But first I was focused on GMOs. And when I took those things out of their foods, my kids got better. And my kids can eat those foods now. They can eat wheat and dairy. And we still try to avoid the nuts for one of them. But if he does eat them by accident, he doesn't have to go to the hospital. They have recovered their systems have recovered. Their immune systems have improved. They no longer have leaky gut and holes in their stomachs. And it was shifting and eating organic food and making sure that their gut bacteria was being cared for, which is what made the big difference. So that's what sparked it. And then we can get into how I started Moms Across America too, but it was really my children's health issues. And I think millions of parents out there can relate to this right now.
Yeah, we all do too. I mean, all of us here are parents and we all share your concerns. And I think all of us would also agree that we're quite the lucky ones because I think our generation, the older generation, I mean, you're younger than us, but you know, the older generation just seem to have been a bit healthier, don't they? It's the younger generation who seem to have all these allergies and food issues.
Yes. And, well, I don't know if I'm that much younger than you. I'm 49. So, but I didn't have any friends that had any of these issues when I was a kid. And yeah, when I was a kid, most of the food was organic. It's definitely my parents' food, when they, whatever they ate was organic. And we didn't have GMOs growing up as young children. It just, they didn't exist. So things have definitely, definitely changed. And now we see, yes, like you're saying, there's so many 20-year-olds now that have been eating GMOs their entire life that have cancer. It's devastating. And they have diverticulitis and ulceritis and Crohn's disease and IBS. And if you go on Facebook to the Crohn's disease and IBS page, the majority of them are young people, and they are getting their colons taken out and sewn shut, you know, and they have to have a bag on the outside of their body for their output. And they're still eating terrible food because they don't know the connection. They don't see a connection to it. Our young people are sick beyond any other generation ever before us. 54% of our children have some type of chronic illness in America today. And the GMO manufacturers are lying about this. They're telling countries like China and other places around the world, oh, American mothers have been feeding their children GMOs for 20 years. And, you know, there's been no ill health issues. And I have had enough of that. And that's why I have traveled around the world to tell them that is not true. I've gone to China and Japan and South Korea and Australia, New Zealand and Europe and, many places to make sure that they know our children are sick. And this is a global crisis. And people need to know that we are being poisoned through our food supply.
Yeah, we're very much on board with what you're saying. And obviously, when you're over the target like you are, you're getting a lot of pushback, aren't you? And, we've been doing our research in preparation for the show. And, many, many things have cropped up in our research. And, the organizations that are pushing back, I'll give you an example. One of the things that struck me was an organization, Impossible Foods, they produce these mm-hmm. alternative meat substitutes, and they really gone after you, haven't they? In 2019, we had a statement by Rachel Conrad, the chief communications officer at Impossible Foods. She really attacked you. She obviously felt very strongly that you were being unfair, and she accused you of being anti-science. She actually said, let me give you the quote here. Mums Across America has escalated a year-long campaign against Impossible Foods to push its anti-vaccine, anti-GMO agenda to anyone gullible enough to listen. The group's latest salvo is a pathetic news release full of lies, anti-science rhetoric, and ignorance of basic arithmetic. Now, they're not holding their punch. They're pulling back their punches there.
I believe in the article, they actually say the word stupid, don't they? In one point, stupid, claims or something like that. So yeah, there's a lot of articles like that. And that's what they do. They criticize people like me or organizations like me with really baseless, there's no foundation for what they're claiming. They're just, if you look at the article, it talks about how we claim that there's a certain level, of course, of glyphosate in the Impossible Burger, which is primarily made up of GMO ingredients. And many of those ingredients have glyphosate sprayed on them as a drying agent before harvest or during the growth. That's why they're genetically modified to withstand glyphosate, right? Like soy and corn and things like that. And so we tested Impossible Foods. I went to a natural health expo, but first of all, I shouldn't have been at the natural foods expo, right? This is not a natural food. And I just took a sample, sent it off to a lab, had it tested, and the Impossible Food burger had, I believe it was 10 or 11 times more glyphosate in it than the Beyond Meat burger, which I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of because it's not organic, but at least it's non-GMO, right? And so that was important information that I felt the public needed to know. And the levels that we found, they're saying, oh, they're thousands of times lower than what the EPA allows. Well, guess what? Why does the EPA allow tens of thousands of times more than that? Because Monsanto has been proven to write them letters and to pressure them and say, look, you need to raise the levels, for instance, by 300% back in, I believe it was 2013, because we are detecting higher levels of glyphosate on the crops. So because the farmers are using it so often and it's so effective, you're going to find higher levels of glyphosate on these crops. So therefore, you need to raise the levels that's allowed on the crops. Mm. Your policy, your regulation needs to change because our farmers, you know, our customers are using so much of it. That's not based on science. That's not based on safety. And so if anybody's anti-science, it's the EPA right now, right? It's the people who are claiming that glyphosate is safe and they're ignoring the 67 studies that the International Agency for Research on Cancer used to show that glyphosate does cause cancer. And the hundreds of other studies showing that it's also an endocrine disruptor, disrupting hormones. There's a new study recently showing that it kills or harms sperm in four different ways: form, function, mobility, and there's one other way. But then also that it can androgenize female baby girls. The exposure, maternal exposure to glyphosate, increases the anal genital distance between, you know, the distance between the anus and the genitals, and that is a masculine trait. It makes them more masculine. And this is Dr. Shauna Swan in her book Countdown, if you want to check that out. So there are so many studies showing low levels of glyphosate causes cancer, causes liver disease, causes kidney disease. And this is very inconvenient for people like the Impossible Food CEO. They don't want to know that. Definitely no. Do not want to know that. And their funders, Temasek, by the way, 300 and something billion-dollar hedge fund in Singapore who funds Bayer, they funded Bayer to buy Monsanto. They fund Impossible Foods. They fund vaccine manufacturers. So that article was very convenient to be able to lump me in with anti-vaxxers and, you know, all of these, you know, all of these things that apparently I'm doing that's evil because it you know, goes up against their profit making. So they, of course, they're going to criticize me. And that's okay, you know, yeah. They can keep doing that. I'm not going to stop.
No. Zen, if I can jump in there, if you mind. Yeah, Zen, I just gotta ask. I mean, this is so disturbing. We actually just had an interview last week where we were discussing similar topics. And I just have to say, it really is just so disturbing what's happening. It seems to be intentional. We were wondering, I gotta ask you, do you think that this poisoning of the food supply and the result effect being the poisoning of humans is intentional and systematic? Because it seems like they're actually planning for it and doing it on purpose.
I know for sure it is highly profitable for them, and they are incredibly aware of that. And they are covering that information up, and they are continuing to sell their products. I don't like to interpret somebody's intention, right? I've gone into a store not wearing a mask and gotten screamed at. I've gone into a store wearing a mask and people have been whatever, you know, like whatever that has, you know, at that time, whatever people have interpreted my intention, right, for that. And I don't like my intentions to be interpreted. But the fact is that they know that these chemicals are harmful. They know that they're killing and poisoning people, and they continue to sell them. And to me, that is beyond just, you know, greedy and irresponsible, if you could say that that's where they're coming from. It's downright evil. And it needs to stop. So whether they are intending to do this to make, you know, the trillions of dollars that they do off their pharmaceutical companies, people have to know. These companies have sister companies, like AstraZeneca is the biggest pesticide manufacturer in the world. And their sister company Syngenta, right? Syngenta is the biggest pesticide company in the world. And their sister company, AstraZeneca, makes about 400 different pharmaceutical drugs to treat the very symptoms that their pesticides cause. You cannot tell me that's a coincidence, right?
It seems to me, it really doesn't, for sure. And I mean, perhaps it's anecdotal, but it does keep coming up in conversations with people. It's just, there's massive expansions of hospitals happening all over the place. I mean, different people have agreed with that observation. It seems like they're just getting ready for just a mass general sickness. And, you know, it seems to be promoted, the idea that you're supposed to be sick. The idea is that you're supposed to be sick now.
But I have to add, I went to Syngenta and I sat down and spoke with four women who are at the head of R&D, you know, research and development. And I said that very thing I just said to you. I said to them, And they looked honestly alarmed. They were like, well, we don't do that. And I'm like, yes, you do. Your sister company, AstraZeneca, sells 400 pharmaceutical drugs that treat these, look at these nervous system drug, you know, medications, these, you know, mental illness and cancer, blah, blah, blah. And your products at Syngenta cause those symptoms.
So it's really a business model. That was what we were wondering. Is it a business model? Make people sick,
right,
on the one hand.
But I have to say, they looked genuinely disturbed. They looked like they did not, that was not their intention. And after that meeting, they did decrease the amount of glyphosate that they were selling. You know, I don't know if that was a cause and effect issue or not. I don't know. But the fact is that, you know, there's glyphosate in 750 different branded products. It's the most widely used herbicide in the world. In the United States, 280 million pounds of it are poured on our crops. Another 20 million pounds are used in landscaping and parks and playgrounds. Every year, there is an enormous amount of glyphosate being used, and they continue to allow it to be used because it's profitable. This is a broken regulatory system. And the people need to be, you know, need to hold these regulatory agencies accountable. They need to either be shut down or, you know, rebooted or something, but they're not doing their job. It's infuriating. Gentlemen, I sent vaccines to be tested for glyphosate because I saw the ingredients in these vaccines. Somebody posted the ingredients on Facebook. I had been vaccinating my children. Okay. One of them was almost fully vaccinated. I believed what the doctors told me. And I looked at the ingredients and I was like, wait a second, there's calf, you know, bovine serum in here. There's chicken, whatever. There's sugar. There's, you know, dairy. There's, you know, all different kinds of ingredients that could be derived or that are most likely 95% likely derived from animals that have been fed GMO grains, which are sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent. And I've seen the levels, you know, thousands of parts per billion of glyphosate allowed on these grains. So, and we know glyphosate does not wash, dry, or cook off. So I was like, there must be glyphosate in these vaccines because it doesn't wash, dry, or cook off. And they're using ingredients, you know, that animals fed. So I sent 5 childhood vaccines off to be tested, and every single one of them came back positive for glyphosate weed killer. And this was years ago. This was, oh my goodness, now 3 or 4 years ago. Has anything been done about this? We don't know. Because when I sent the information to the CDC and the FDA, they said, oh, vaccines are highly safe and, you know, highly tested and safe and effective, blah, blah, blah. And a year later, I decided to do a Freedom of Information Act, you know, on them to see what had they said about it over the past year. Had they done any testing? Had they, you know, tried to get glyphosate out of vaccines? Had they pinpointed that glyphosate was most likely getting into the vaccines through those ingredients I just mentioned, or the gelatin? The gelatin comes from pigs that have been fed GMO grain sprayed with glyphosate, and the gelatin is in the vaccines, especially the live virus vaccines, because they need a stabilizing agent. And that gelatin comes from pig tendons, right? So I wondered if they had pinpointed that, which of course we told them this, but, you know, had they done anything about it? And I got back, I think it was 170 pages, and I think over about 70 or 80 of them were completely redacted. And they told me they didn't have to tell me that information because they didn't need to give me the deliberative process. They only needed to give me their final, you know, sort of decision-making. And what was shown was completely ridiculous. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry to break into there. What you're pointing out is secret science. And we'd like to come on to that topic, secret science, after the break. But we have to take a short break now. This is TNT Radio Live.
You should hear what Michael Parker is talking about.
I guess we're not through with the flus. Now they're talking about the tomato flu. And I saw some photos of this thing, and apparently it's emerging in India. To me, it kind of looked like chickenpox, which immediately made me suspicious because monkeypox, chickenpox, smallpox, shingles, all of these various things. But it's rising in kids in India, and it says that it was first identified on May 6th. They're saying that it's quite contagious. So far, it's infected 82 children, all under the age of 5. This is according to Lancet Respiratory Medicine Journal. And they think that also 26 other kids are suspected of having this tomato flu. Now, I'd never heard of this thing, And I guess they call it that because of these red blisters on the skin. It does look like chicken pox to me. I mean, as much as it's been a long time since I've had chicken pox, but that's kind of what it reminded me of. And so now I guess we're going to have to look out for that. And they call it sometimes tomato fever, tomato flu. The rare viral infection is in an endemic state. Ah, that sounds like monkeypox, because monkeypox was endemic in Africa and was not an issue for a long, long time.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
The FISA warrants. Misleading Congress. Misleading the DOJ. Misleading Donald Trump. The attack on Michael Flynn. Andrew McCabe fired. The Clinton emails. The Wiener laptop. Roger Stone. The January 6th Capitol riot. Hunter Biden protection. The Gretchen Whitmer plot. Kyle Rittenhouse. The Mar-a-Lago raid. Years of irredeemable corruption by the FBI. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. We're Slaying Sky Dragons with Zen Honeycutt. And the website we recommend you visit is mumsacrossamerica.com, where you get all the information you need about the important work that Zen and the Mums Across America are doing to protect our families and our well-being and the environment. Now, just before the break, we were touching on the issue of secret science. The alphabet agencies, the EPA, the FDA, all those, I think, corrupted organizations, that they are leading us down a path where Joe Posner alluded to it, where we are being made sick, we've been made ill. And you pointed out that the employees of these organizations and these corporations, they're not genuinely aware that they are part of this kind of dystopian paradigm. And one of the things I want to do is always bring in my colleague Joe Olson, because he's very well informed. And I know he's champing at the bit to add some information, Joe. So, Joe, you've been very patient. Do you want to jump in?
Oh, yeah. The preceding program was Jeremy Nell with Germ Warfare on his TNT interview with Dr. Mark McDonald, MD. And the guy made the unpleasant decision that he's an agnostic, so he doesn't really believe in God. But he says that the forces that are at work are so well coordinated and so goal-oriented that you have to accept that there are demonic forces on this planet that are doing absolutely horrible things. And certainly we have captured regulatory agencies, and we are facing a full spectrum of threat vectors. And as far as the glyphosate, that's a joint conspiracy on the part of the EPA and the FDA. When glyphosate was originally submitted for approval by the EPA, they said that the chemical that is the active ingredient in glyphosate reacts with soil clay particles, and within a month or two, it completely metabolizes and disappears. Well, what they had done is they had run 20 or 30 tests, and it never disappeared, and they found one sample that had a certain amount of elements in the clay soils that reacted with the glyphosate, and so they claimed that was a common soil constituent when it actually is not. And so they threw out the other 19 studies that disagreed with them, and they only furnished the one that agreed with them. And the EPA is so cowardly that they let manufacturers provide their own research data, and they never question it, and they never independently verify anything. And so then that rolled over to the FDA, and they said, oh, well, we can prove that, you know, several parts per million is actually good for you. So, you know, we had this joint failure on the part of the two regulatory agencies that were set up ostensibly to protect us. Just like I said before, in last week's broadcast, the FDA was allowed under the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1905, and we can see how pure our food is now. They have allowed toxic substances in the food chain for 100 years unchallenged. So, and the EPA was created under Tricky Dick. It was actually a Clean Air Act that was passed earlier than that to address the air pollution problems in Los Angeles, which were horrible in the 70s and were actually reduced. So that portion of the EPA's work was good, but they've failed in an extreme extent with everything else that they've done. And these captured agencies need to have a full public hearing, and the people that are responsible for this need to have their pensions removed, and they need to be removed from office. And I think they deserve criminal prosecution, because this is beyond benign neglect. This is intentional neglect.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. It's beyond just a failure, right? Not just doing something. It is intentional corruption. It's intentional cover-up that's going on here. And the result is harming millions of people and billions of life forms on the planet. There's a new study that just came out this week showing that glyphosate at levels lower than allowed by the EPA causes convulsions in earthworms. And what they don't say is, well, what happens after the convulsions? How long do they live after that? Right? Most likely that's going to lead to death. And without earthworms, we don't have topsoil. We don't have organic matter in the topsoil. And we don't have an agriculture system. And they continue to cover these types of things up, you know, these types of results. And we've known for a long time that ground up harms earthworms. This is just a new study showing convulsions. And I want to give one other example about how the EPA and Monsanto have cooked the science. And I literally mean cooked. So in the Monsanto trial, Dwayne Lee Johnson. Thank you. The pesticide applicator that sued Monsanto first, right, for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. During that trial, the discovery of the Monsanto papers was released to the public. And in that information, Glyphosate Girl, who's one of our board members on Moms Across America, her name is Kelly Ryerson, she went to every single day of the Monsanto trial, and she sat there for 6 or 7 hours a day for 7 weeks and heard the entire trial and reported on. You've got to check her blog out. And she reported from the trial that what they did with one of the studies, because previously it showed that glyphosate soaks into the skin, you know, dermal exposure, pesticide applicators using it soaks into the skin very easily. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, you know, maybe a decade after it was being used, the studies changed. And oh no, it's safe. And that this is why Monsanto showed people in espadrilles spraying Roundup on their front yard, right? Mm-hmm. And they no mask needed, no Tyvek suits, which is how they required their employees, the Monsanto employees, had to wear Tyvek suits to interact with glyphosate. But that's not how they presented it to the public. And they said, well, you know, she looked at what happened. What did the science, what happened to the science here? And it turns out what they did was they took skin from a cadaver and they cooked it, and then they froze it, and then they cooked it again until it was the consistency of like hard leather. And then they put glyphosate on it. And they used those results to show, look, glyphosate doesn't sink into the skin. It's totally fine. People can wear espadrilles. They don't have to wear gloves or masks. We can have happy people in their front yard spraying Roundup. And you know what the result of that is? Friends of mine, good friend of mine, her father used Roundup in his backyard, just like that, on the patio, you know, the stone patios and backyard. And he got cancer and died. And his grandson got cancer and almost died. He lived, thank God. But people like that suffered, and people have lost loved ones because of Monsanto's lies.
Yeah. And we know that they've been ordered to pay over $80 million in damages. Yes. We know that there are about 11,000 lawsuits piling up against them.
144,000. 144,000.
Well, yeah, it never ends, does it? I mean, it's becoming like an epidemic. The real epidemic here is the toxic in our food and everything. Joe Olson, you know, you've been doing a lot of research on this subject, because I know it's something that's close to your heart. You've been talking to me about Roundup for many years. We've run articles on Principia Scientific International about Roundup, and you you were sounding the alarm, you know, before all these things hit the headlines. So, you know, my hat's off to you for doing that. Give us some of your insights, Joe, about how you saw this thing developing.
Well, I think we pretty well covered the glyphosate because we got so many other things to cover. Let's talk about BTs, the supposed pesticide, Bacillus thuringiensis bacterium, which kills worms and caterpillars. It's a bacterium, but it also degrades rapidly in sunlight. It dissolves rapidly in rain or irrigation water, and it also kills butterflies. So I don't know if your group has studied this particular organically approved insecticide or not, but I'm starting to wonder about that. And the other thing is that all of these systems are dependent on producing nitrogen, which is necessary for food production. And nitrogen is available to the plants from a number of different sources, but one of those is pyrocharic microorganisms, which are called BNF, biological nitrogen fixing organisms, which actually convert atmospheric nitrogen, which is down in the soil particles, in between the soil particles, because it's 80% of the atmosphere, converts it to a liquid ammonia, NH3. And this can be done with plant crops like clover and soybean and alfalfa, and then also rhizome beans, which is a whole family of beans. And it also is done by bacteria, which was mentioned, and also by archaea, which is a third domain of organisms that is so different that it was given a third domain as late as the 1970s. We thought there was just two domains, single organism and then multi-cell organisms. So we had single cell and multi-cell, and then this scientist, Dr. Carl Woese, Woese at the University of Illinois, was able to prove that the DNA of archaea are so different that they considered it a whole new domain. So here we had, as late as 1970, a major shakeup in just our definitions of biology because we were so ignorant about it. And we can get into a little bit more about what archaea does, but it's one of the things that's a nitrogen fixer for soils too. And how are they affected by the glyphosate? And so that's why you have to add chemical fertilizers, because you're sterilizing the soil with these pesticides and herbicides.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a vicious circle, isn't it? They sterilize, they kill off the earthworms and the good bacteria in the soil with glyphosate and these other toxic chemicals. You know, glyphosate's just one of them. And then the soil is so sterile and depleted of nutrients and organic matter that they have to add this nitrogen back in. And the nitrogen runs off into the waterways and is, you know, absolutely harming, and, you know, phosphorus and all different kinds of chemicals are harming our wildlife, killing off the fish. It is a nasty cycle. But I do want to address the BT. I'm so glad you're so knowledgeable about this, Joe. The BT, according to the organic farmers that I talk to, they use it very sparingly. This is just the ones that I've talked to, because they are very aware of the fact that any pesticide that you use in any type of gardening is most likely going to kill off the beneficial bugs as well as the ones that you don't want. And most organic gardeners don't want to kill off any pests. They want to, cultivate the soil in such a way that you don't have more pests. I mean, if you think about it, if you have sick soil, it's kind of like a herd of antelope where there is a sick antelope. Which one is the predator going to come get? It's going to come after the sick animal. That's Mother Nature's way of culling the herd. It goes after the sick animal, and bugs and weeds go after the sick soil and the sick plants. So if you have a plant in your garden that's sick and is being attacked by bugs, most likely you want that plant out of there anyway. It's one of the weaker plants. It's one of the, you know what I'm saying? It's one of the ones that is not going to add benefit to your crop. So you want to put good things into the soil, good bacteria, good inputs in order to support your plants to be healthy and your soil to be healthy. And then you don't have those pests and weeds that come as often. And the BT issue, I want to address that. So that BT is, you know, it is used in organic gardening, but it, as far as I know, it's used pretty sparingly and it does dissipate in about 4 hours. So, but it has been genetically modified, and that bacteria comes from the carcass of a dead grain caterpillar, by the way, and they've genetically modified it in order to constantly reproduce more toxins, right? It doesn't just dissipate with the sun, like they used in organic gardening. In genetic modification, they have genetically modified it to constantly produce more toxins. So when it's inside the cell of every cell of that plant, say it's corn, then the corn rootworm comes along, takes a bite out of that plant, gets the BT toxin, the genetically modified BT toxin, into its stomach. And in its stomach, it reproduces more and more toxin, and eventually it explodes the stomach of the worm. And that's why it dies. And the problem with that is that BT toxin is in every cell of that corn that is then used in our animal feed, in our tortilla chips, in our corn oil, in our tortillas, in our corn cereal. And it can, and we have to assume that it's impacting our stomachs. I mean, why do we have so many children with leaky gut, with holes in their stomachs? Hello, we're eating food that has toxins in it. Now, just very interestingly, this past year, the EPA very quietly decided to phase out 40 different types of BT toxin GMOs. And that has happened around the same time when farmers are being told to burn their crops, right? Or dump them, or just stockpile them. And so I would like people to consider that perhaps, you know, yes, I get these farmers are very upset, right? That they're being told not to grow these things. But it could be because somebody in the EPA has finally had the courage to acknowledge the fact that these BT toxin GMOs are not good for the animal, the livestock, which is mostly who's eating them, or the humans that eat food products from them. And so they're being told to not sell those crops, to not grow them. And, you know, the farmers are not happy about that. And some people may be twisting that into a conspiracy of like, you know, the government's trying to starve us. I don't know if that's true or not, right? But that is my theory on that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a financial liability concern more than an actual concern to do good for the people.
Yeah. And when it's a liability, like what happens if somebody's entire crop is no longer able to be sold? Well, they would go out of business. So then what would need to happen is there would need to be a fire, because then insurance can cover that crop, right? And then they can stay in business. So my question is, you know, a lot of these, you know, distribution centers, and just my theory, folks, just my theory, but a lot of these distribution centers, do they have ingredients in them that are toxic? So for instance, there was baby formula recently that had bacteria in it that was highly toxic and would stay viable in powder. Like, you know, it didn't need water. It killed babies. And my question is, where else was this bacteria? It came from cows. Where is that milk? Where is that formula? Where is that powdered milk? What products are they being used in? If they actually did some sleuthing and detected that bacteria in thousands of other food products, those food products would have to pretty much be burned, right? There would have to be an act of God, a flood or a burn or some type of thing that would have to happen to get rid of those food products so that that company didn't go out of business. Because of course we need insurance to cover everything, right? So my question is about that is, I think that there are going to be more and more food products that have to be somehow conveniently removed from the food system because the chemicals in the food supply are so darn toxic, and they're growing molds and fungus and bacteria that are super bugs. Our antibiotics can't kill them, and they're killing people.
Zen, do you think, I mean, this is just so disturbing. I mean, you should go back and listen to last week's episode as well. It was, you know, highly related to this one, but this is just getting more and more disturbing. Do you think that organic food is safe?
I don't think all organic food is safe. Absolutely not. There's definitely fraud that's happening. You can see that in the detox project testing that just came out a few months ago. The testing was done on, I think it was 96 different foods, and 20% of the organic had glyphosate contamination. And the most highly processed foods were the ones that had clear fraud of organic ingredients. And why I say that is because, let's just take the powders. There were protein powders, highly processed, made out of peas and lentils and beans and things like that. And the levels of glyphosate in the organic powders that were listed, not all of them, but some of them, had the same exact level as the level of glyphosate in the non-GMO powders or the conventional powders. So, like 54 parts per billion, for instance, 54, 50, 48, things like that. And what that tells me is that that's not 3 parts per billion, right? Like in wine, when we tested glyphosate in wine, there was like 34 parts per billion in conventional wine. But in the organic or the biodynamic that was tested, there was like, 0.34 or 0.75 or, very small amounts compared to the conventional. That to me shows simply drift or irrigation contamination. But when the level is the same exact amount as the conventional ones, that means somebody just stamped that, bag of lentils or peas and said, let's just make them organic. That's fraud.
So is this glyphosate then? Like, does it really not degrade naturally? Like, it's just in there for good? Like,
It does not wash dry. It does not wash dry or cook off, and it can get into your bone marrow and your tendons. It does come out of your body. The most of it does get eliminated through urine, but it can also be found, as we showed, in breast milk. So it's been found in tap water, in my child's urine. That's a whole nother story. In breast milk, and the levels found in breast milk were 3,000 times higher than it's been shown to cause sex hormone changes in Seralini studies in rats. He's a French scientist. So our children are consuming sex hormone changing glyphosate, and people are wondering why we have so many issues with children and their reproductive organs changing. 1 out of 100 babies now are being born with some sort of sexual disorder, sexual organ, disorder. And there's a symptom called Klinefelter syndrome that shows that between 500, one out of between every 500 or 1,000 baby boys are being born with an extra chromosome. I don't remember right now if it's the Y or the X one, whichever one is the female chromosome. They're being born with the extra female chromosome. And so I believe this is directly connected to the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are being allowed in our food supply, and particularly glyphosate.
Zen, the Monsanto testing
Joe, I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Joe. We really do need to take another break. This is TNT Radio Live.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Two big weather events look like they're going to be shaping up: the increase in activity in the tropics in all the basins over the next 3 to 4 weeks, to a point where it's above normal activity, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Now, it's been very, very quiet, and the reason why it's been very quiet is because it's been so cool over the tropics, anywhere from 18 to 35, 40,000 feet up. Now, this is exactly opposite of the so-called trapping hotspot theory, and I've gone over this a couple of times. Another big event is how cold it's going to be in much of Asia, Africa, Australia, and Antarctica relative to averages, all right? It's not going to be so overpoweringly cold that people are going to be freezing. After all, north of the equator, it is still summer, but it is going to be much below normal, it looks like, especially when we get to next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media.
We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know. We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Sky Dragon Slaying. We have Zen Honeycutt from Mums Across America. And the important thing about the Mums Across America, mothers are important because they buy 85% of the food. The family is obviously true to your heart, is close to your heart, Zen. Mothers are important because, you know, you tend to have your finger on the pulse. You know what's going on. And GMOs are a big concern. Pesticides are a big concern. And I'm looking at your website, and I'm making a point here that we need to stress that you have data. You've got a drop-down menu. You've got data on toxins. You've got organizational lists. You've got video resources. You've got everything there we need to look at, from glyphosate to wireless radiation and a whole host of things. And you know, you're allowing people to join. You know, you're welcoming people. You're covering all 50 states and around the world. You know, and it's all about being active, isn't it? You've got to be active in your community. So just give us a taste of what you actually are doing in the local communities. What do you encourage organizations to do to stand up to the attack that we're having on our society?
Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out. We do have a data page. We love science. I am often found reading science at 11 o'clock at night and trying to, you know, convey it in a way that will make sense to our readers. And I have a whole host of advisors. We don't even have them all listed on our website. Many different scientists, doctors, lawyers, researchers that I, you know, consult with on practically a daily basis to get the information out to people in a way that makes sense. And we have always been committed. Our mission is to educate and empower mothers and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. And that's a big goal, right? That means anything that's coming our way that might have our families be unhealthy, we are going to do our best to, you know, address that with our supporters. Now, clearly, we can't do every single issue under the sun. We are a very small nonprofit. But at, like all moms out there, we wear about 16 hats a day, and we are doing multiple things to get the word out there. And the first thing that we did, just to sort of give you a little bit of background and hopefully maybe give people an idea of what they could do in their areas, was I wanted to be efficient. I was a waitress for 7 summers, right? You've got to hit all those tables in a very short amount of time. And as a mom, you've got to take care of multiple things at once. And I said, how could I reach as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time? And, you know, thinking about Jeffrey Smith's idea with trying to create a tipping point, you only need to reach 15% of the customers, 15, not 50. And there will be a tipping point because of the loss of profit, right? That the market will shift. And I thought about how could we raise awareness with thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day? Well, that would be 4th of July. Because there are parades all across the country, and all you need to do is slap on some red, white, and blue and maybe sign up with the town hall and have a group in the parade, and you carry a banner. And so I had the banner say, Moms Across America, march to label GMOs. And all I wanted was Uncle Harry on the sideline, you know, drinking his Coke and eating his Doritos, to look at our sign and be like, you know, Molly, what the heck is a GMO? Why are these moms marching about it? And she'd be like, I don't know, look it up. And that's all I wanted, was for people to look up what GMOs are and to get involved in, you know, the labeling initiative, which was happening at that time. Actually, in California, it had failed. It did not pass. And so it was happening in Washington and Oregon and Colorado and Vermont and several other states across the country. And so people really, you know, got that initiative, and we had 179 groups join into parades for our first event. Only 4 months after I started the website and the Facebook page, we had a reach on Facebook of 300,000 a week in less than 4 months. And that was, you know, with no posting of, you know, paying money to boost anything or anything like that. And so it really took off, and we did reach thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day. And we had, in the first 5 years, we had 1,000 events posted in the back end of our website in all 50 states. And we've been around for 10 years now, actually. And I don't know how many more events, but, you know, people are having online events and, you know, speaker series and movie nights, and people can get involved in a myriad of ways. Mostly now it's through email and petition and, you know, because of COVID and things like that. But It is simply become a way of life for most of our moms now to be an activist. Before, it was something that people shied away from. You know, they thought, oh man, those people wear too much patchouli and, you know, their fuss budgets, they have too much time on their hand. Now you really need to be an activist. You need to know what's going on. You need to know the sources of your information. So we invite people to get involved by inviting other people to get involved, by hosting a coffee night or, you know, a movie night or an organic potluck with a movie and just getting together with your neighbors and friends. That's just Moms Across America. But we have a new program called the Neighborhood Food Network. And I'd love to go more into that, how all of that works. And that initiative is really focused on the solution and getting everybody together in the neighborhood. Do we have time for me to touch on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. Well, the Neighborhood Food Network is creating national food security one street at a time. And it's a program of Moms Across America, but we are separating it out now to be a separate nonprofit. And what it does is it empowers neighbors to invite, inspire, and excite their neighbors to grow food on their street, you know, their backyard, their rooftop, their balconies, and to source food locally. And there's several benefits to this. Number one, if the power goes out and there's no food in the grocery stores, within 9 missed meals, people are going to be resorting to violence. That's 3 days. And most people do not have a great backup plan if the power goes out, right? If we get on an airplane, we've got a seat cushion, we've got oxygen, we've got a flotation device, we know where the exit door is, there's a plan if there's a crash. But for our food supply and the power going out, most people have no backup plan, maybe a week of food, maybe 2 weeks. Most people don't have water and they don't realize that if the power goes out, there's no water coming out of their tap. And so in this case, beefing up our you know, a backup plan would be to be growing food on our sidewalks or you know, on our front yards and our backyards, our balconies, our rooftops, all of that. And so that would be preparedness would be one of the number one reasons. The second one is, like we just talked about, GMOs and glyphosate, you'd be opting out of the whole toxic food supply, right? And you would be eating food fresh that has far more antioxidants and enzymes and, you know, substances in the food that help us fight cancer and give us vitamins and minerals and all of that. And then the third thing is community. We'd be connecting with people, sharing food, meeting people that actually will have our back in a time of crisis or just in a time of celebration, right? Connecting with, you're not going to care if somebody's a Democrat or Republican if you're harvesting peaches together and canning them, right? You are making friends in your local neighborhood. And we love that. And we've had some people we've had 145 people in 36 states initiate this program on their streets. They've signed up to do that. We're hearing back from some of them. And one of them is in 1 week has had 3 different events with neighbors that she never knew before to go and, you know, harvest peaches or apples or raspberries and share and exchange things. And another one wants to start one in an affluent neighborhood. She said they're probably not as concerned with, you know, a time of crisis. They think they're prepared. But she might be able to rally them for growing food for a food bank. So we think the idea of a street adopting a food bank, right? And perhaps after they donate maybe 1,000 pounds or something like that of food to a food bank, then they get a sign up that says, you know, this street neighborhood food network growing for, let's just say, Asheville Mana Food Bank, right? So kind of like those adopt a street signs where people, you know, pick up litter. So it would be like that. Streets could adopt a food bank and provide produce to WIC and low-income, you know, underserved communities to have fresh, healthy food. So there's a lot of potential to this, and we're really excited about this new endeavor.
Brilliant. And just to add to that, you've also got connections to lawyers. I mean, another thing that I found it interesting is in our own organization, Principia Scientific International, we had to go to law some years ago to defend our colleague, because in the work you do as an activist, you are quite possibly going to have to resort to law. We were involved in a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. We eventually won that. And very helpfully, you have connection to lawyers on your page. So again, this is something that I reckon is a very, very helpful thing to recommend to listeners, that you know, Moms Across America, you do have lawyers that you recommend, that you suggest are very helpful in your organization and activism.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a wonderful resource that you put on your website. And I very heartily endorse that.
Thank you. Sometimes that's the only way, you know, really, they just don't, a lot of these regulatory agencies just won't do their job unless there's a lawsuit breathing down their neck. Unfortunately, that's what needs to happen.
Exactly. We saw it through the pandemic, didn't we? So many of us were, you know, hounded by employers. We were told we couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Even Joe Posner will tell you that he had the misfortune of being suspended from work because he refused to take the deadly toxin, the vaccine. And, you know, this is something we've all had to face up to. So what we're covering here is as much information as we can to allow listeners to do their own research, because the important thing is that people do due diligence. They protect their families, they look into things themselves, and that's something that you can only do by avoiding the lies from the mainstream media, that they're not there to help you, they're there to control you. So what we'll do is we'll go into this kind of issue just after the break. We've got the news break coming up, and it's Zen Honeycutt, Mums Across America. We'll be right back after this short news break.